that, and while they yet believed what? What's that word?
Not.
And yet, while they yet believe not. I want to talk to you a little bit about truly believing. Truly believing. You know, here we see 11 disciples with some others behind closed doors, hoping no one would know where they were. There had been a lot happening in the recent days, and they were not sure if their lives were in danger or not. Yesterday, when I went and picked up bread, I talked to two other pastors that were there picking up bread at the same time. And we had a little Bible study, the three of us, and talked over some things. And when I got through, you know, me being the teacher anyway, but they all looked at me and they said, "We've never seen that happen that way. I've never seen that before in Scripture." And I said, "Well," I said, "let me ask you something." I said, "You're both pastors." I said, "How long have you been pastors?" One had been a pastor for 4 years and the other one for 2 years. And I said to him, I said, "In the past year, how many times have you preached on sin?" And they said, "Well, none." I said, "How many times have you preached on salvation?" They said, "None." I said, "How many times have you preached on sanctification?" They said, "None." And I said, "You know," I said, "I want to just be real plain and simple. One day, we're all going to stand before the Lord at the Bema Seat Judgment. We're going to be judged for what we did, right or wrong." And I said, you and I are all three going to be judged doubly for what we did or did not do. Because a workman is worthy of double honor. Not only are you worth double honor, but you're also going to get double judgment. So I said, we better make sure we're preaching the right stuff. The one guy looked at me and he says, "Boy," he says, "you know what?" He says, "I don't know if I want to be a pastor or not." I said, "Well," I said, "you just better make sure that you're preaching the right stuff thing, or," I said, "you're in trouble." The one guy looked at me and he says, "Well," he says, "I have a question for you." He said, "Is there any way that I can get a hold of any of your sermons?" And I said, "As a matter of fact, there is." So I gave him each my card and I said, "Here," I said, "on the bottom here is our website." I said, "Go on there," and I said, "you can get any of the sermons that I preach." The one guy says, "I'm going home right now," and he says, "I want to listen to some of your messages." I said, "Okay." So, you know, we need to be ready to take and give an answer to anything. But there is a difference between believing something and truly believing something. And that's what I want to look at today. You know, if we look back at the same chapter, verses 13 to 35, we see two men on their way to Emmaus. The two of them had been talking to each other as they went. Each one, more than likely, were talking about the things that had happened that week. You know, they both were talking about Jesus' trial, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. This is what the two of them were talking as they were walking along the road to Emmaus. They were discussing one another exactly what had happened that week and what they felt of what was going on. They had talked about the empty tomb. They were no doubt were talking about the 3 days earlier and how the women and the women saw the angels. And Peter had saw the linen clothes and that were folded in the tomb. They no doubt were a little bit bewildered by the happenings of the day, and they felt they needed to get away from Jerusalem. They felt they needed to get away to be alone, so they started heading for Emmaus. Then all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them. Look at verses 15 and 16 of Luke chapter 24. It says, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were hidden that they should not know him." These two were walking together, had no idea that this was Jesus who had joined them in their journey. Now think about this for a minute. Here's these two guys walking all by themselves. All of a sudden, here's a third person walking with them. Where did he come from? Was it that they were walking so slowly that anybody could have caught up with him? I don't think so. I think Jesus just appeared. Now, they did not realize that this was the risen Savior. They did not realize this was Jesus himself who was walking with them and listening to every word that they were saying. They did not know that this was the Lord Jesus Christ who they wanted to communicate with, but they could not do that because they didn't know where he was at that time. They did not know him because they were never fully introduced to the Lord after his resurrection. They knew of who he said he was. They had seen the miracles that he had done. They saw the lame walk, the blind see, the lepers made clean, the demons cast out, the dead rise. They wanted to know him. They wanted to believe that he was risen from the dead just as he said he would. They wanted to understand of what he meant when he said he must be born again. When Jesus appeared to them, they had no idea it was really him. Jesus appeared to men and they knew him not. Because of the sin state of man, we cannot know the Savior ourselves. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us in here are sinners. We cannot find the Savior on our own. You know, many men seek the Lord, but have no idea how to find him. They go through life wondering if they will ever have a fulfillment of life. This morning, Ariana and I, we were in Starbucks, and the guy behind the counter, he says, "Oh, are you going to church?" And I said, "Yeah, we're going on our way to church." And he says, "I'm hoping someday to see Jesus." I'm thinking to myself, hoping? I looked at him, I said, "Well, I know someday I'm going to see Jesus." And we talked for a long time. And so finally, there's other customers there and that, and we couldn't, you know, carry on a real good conversation with him or anything. So Ariana, she says, "Why don't you come to our church?" And she says, "I think you might be able to find the Lord." He goes, "Well, where's it at?" So I gave him one of my cards. And he told her, he says, "Maybe I'll see you next Sunday morning." Listen, well, we need to be ready to tell anybody about the Lord, amen? Now, there's a lot of people who are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ today, and they don't know where to find him. They have no idea. You know, there's many, believe it or not, that will talk a good talk. Look at verses 19 to 24 that same chapter. It says, "And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonishment, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." Hey, they're talking a good talk here, aren't they? They're telling Jesus exactly everything that he already knows. You know, these two told Jesus everything which had happened. They went into who he was and how he was the Son of God. They explained of what he had said about the prophets. They went into his death, how that the rulers had taken him and put him on the cross and crucified him, how they wanted to believe that he was truly the Messiah. They went in, into his burial. They told of how the tomb was empty and how that they had not been told or seen by someone, but they knew that he had risen. Isn't that the way it is with people today? Isn't that the way it is with people today? You know, they know the right words to say. They know the right churches to go to. They may go to church on Christmas and Easter. They may even go once a week. You know, they may use the right Bibles. They may sing the right songs. They may hang out with the right people. They have a form of religion and play church. They are close to finding the Savior, yet they know him not. They don't know him. They did not understand who this person was. These two men, as they walked and talked, were with the very Son of God, the one who could cleanse their hearts from sin, and they did not know him. Now, I believe that these two, one of them, I believe, was Peter. The other one may have been John. And they were walking along, and they had been with Jesus for the last 3 years. They had slept with him, they had eaten with him, they had seen all the miracles, they had been empowered with the Holy Spirit, and yet they still did not know him. How sad a day it will be when we get to heaven, and there will be many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You know, I believe that there are many who feel they know the Savior who are going to fall short of the kingdom of heaven because they only played church. That was it. Oh, you know what? I'll go to church when I feel like it. I don't have to be there every Sunday. I don't have to take in worship all the time. They play church. They play religion. What a sad day that's going to be when all of a sudden there's going to be these TV evangelists and radio evangelists and everybody else who are going to stand before the Lord with all of their mighty works that they did here on earth. And he's going to look at them and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I knew you not. I was flipping through the channels the other day and ran across this guy, and you talk about somebody pleading for money, it was him. I mean, he was using scripture I had never heard of before, you know. And he says, if you will only give to this work, he says, you will receive 100-fold back. I'm thinking, wow, that's a pretty good investment. Invest $1, get 100 back. So I did, and I didn't. You know, what we need to realize, there's an awful lot of people out there that are trying their hardest to make a buck off of the Lord. You know, the scriptures then were revealed to these two. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Whoa. Jesus could not tell them of any other God. He could not tell them of a coming Lord because he was in their presence. He could not tell them of a coming Messiah because the Messiah was there. He preached to them the very scripture which told of his coming, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's what he told them of. He told them of himself, and not some dead god like Muhammad or Buddha or Diana or some other god which is dead and not living. You know, God's word has to be revealed to someone before they can find the Savior. You know, the gospel message has to be preached to them before they can come to know who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. Someone has to go and show them who the Savior really is. In Romans 10, 14 to 17, it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Listen, what we need to realize is this. Somebody has to tell them they're lost. You know, I look back here and I see Sarah. I can remember the day I went up to her door and I knocked on her door. And she came to the door and we talked. I won't tell me what was said, but we talked. I said to her, I said, "Do you have a Bible?" She goes, "Yeah." She went and got her old family Bible. That thing was about this big, about this thick. Had about that much dust on it. And so I went and I showed her from her Bible how she was a sinner, how there's a penalty for her sin, how Jesus died for her, and she needed to ask for her salvation. Listen to me. Listen very carefully. The scripture has to be revealed before someone can be saved. They have to be told. The scripture has to be revealed to them. If it didn't, there'd be people busting down the doors constantly wanting to get saved. But we don't have that because people don't want to hear the scripture anymore. But you know, once they heard the scripture, they found the Savior. In Luke chapter 24, verse 31, it says, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Wow! Can you imagine you're standing there talking to somebody, all of a sudden your eyes are open, "Hey, this is the Savior," and boom, he's gone. That would be a little freaky, wouldn't it? Well, just think of the Ethiopian eunuch when Philip was with him, and he says, "Well, what must I do to be baptized?" Philip says, "Well, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." He's, "Okay, stop the chariot. Let's go down and get baptized." They went down and got baptized, and immediately, it says, Philip was taken. I mean, can you imagine that? Having someone come and tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, you accept him, and boom, they're gone. Man. I know Brother Mike, that's what happens to him every Saturday when they go out. He leaves somebody at the door, and he just disappears for fear they're going to shoot him. No, I'm not really. But listen, they found the Savior. They saw the light. They found the one who they were looking for. They finally gave in and found the Lord. They had the right talk, and now they had the right attitude. They heard the gospel presented to them. They knew that they needed him as their personal Savior. Finally, their eyes were open, and they found the one who they had been searching for the last 3 years while they were with him all along. But you know, then they got excited. In Luke chapter 24, verse 33, it says, "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, They wanted to tell their friends what had just happened in their lives. They wanted to tell everybody what they had just found. You know, they did not want to keep it from anybody. They didn't want to keep it to themselves. They were not going to wait for the next day. They wanted to share it with everybody that Jesus was alive and that he was risen just as he said. They want everybody to know that their eyes had been opened to who he really was. They wanted to tell the whole world. I can see them now. Let's be the first soul winners in the world. Amen? After all, they had seen the Lord. Well, that's my introduction. Now we're going to get into the message. That was just the introduction. In the scripture that Brother Mike read this morning, if you turn back to Luke chapter 24, verse 36 says this, "And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you." In John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you." Now, I want to set the stage here for just a minute. Here was the disciples with a few other people, and they were in this upper room. It was a second floor room. It was about half the size of this auditorium. There was one door coming in. That was the one right back there. They had a bar across the door. They had the door barred for fear that the Jews would know where they were and would come and take them and arrest them. They had it shut tight. There was no way anyone was going to get into this room. None. Zero. Here they are with those doors shut, bolted, and they were a little bit scared, to say the least, and they were trembling at the sight of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I would have been a little frightened too. After all, here is 11 people sitting around at a table, and all of a sudden, here comes Jesus walking through the door. He goes, "Hey, don't be afraid. Peace be unto you. It's just me." They're going, "Uh-oh. This isn't good. Nobody walks through doors." Amen? And he says, "Hey, look at my hands and my feet. Go ahead and touch me." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm wondering how flesh and bone walks through a door. I'm really anxious to be in my glorified body. Amen? I'll be able to go anywhere. Listen, here's Jesus. He says, "Here, look at my hands and my feet. Look at where the spear was placed in my side." He wants them to touch him to show them who he really is. You know, he is now in his glorified body, and he wants them to realize it is really him. It's the one that they had crucified 3 days earlier. Well, now it's about 13 days earlier. It was him. But you know what? They didn't believe. They did not believe. Even though they saw him, even though they touched him, they still didn't believe. They talked the talk. Verse 41 it says, "And while they yet believed not, for joy and wonder, he said unto them, Have ye any meat?" They wanted to believe. They wanted to believe so bad that this was the risen Savior. They wanted to believe. They wanted more than anything to believe that this was truly the Messiah. They wanted to believe so bad. They had the head knowledge, but they didn't have the heart knowledge. They had the head knowledge, but they didn't have the heart knowledge. You know, they could talk the religious talk just like the best of them, but they could not truly believe that he had rose from the dead. After all, whoever rose from the dead on their own accord? They saw Lazarus rise from the dead, but Jesus is the one who called him up from the dead. He didn't rise all by himself. And yet here Jesus rose by his own power. The neat thing about this is the scripture was revealed to them. Verses 45 to 47 it says, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scripture, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." The scripture message was given to these 11 who were gathered together. Jesus gave them the same scripture that you and I have today. Did you know that? He gave the exact same scripture that you and I have to give out today. How that we are all sinners. How that there's a penalty for our sin. How that Jesus came and died for our sins. How that we need to accept him as our personal Savior to have everlasting life. He revealed himself to them for the person he truly was, the Savior of the world. They had found the Savior. Then opened he their understanding. Man, they found who Jesus was. He is the everlasting Father. He is the King of glory. He is the King of kings. They found the Savior. Though at first they did not believe, after the scripture was revealed, they came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? It's no different with people today. They need to have their eyes opened. They need to have the scripture given. They need to know that they're a sinner. They need to understand there's a penalty for their sin. They need to believe that Jesus died for them. And then they need to accept it. But you know what I find really interesting about this? It's found in verse 52 of that chapter. They got excited. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. Woo! Guess what we found? We found the Savior! Yeah, man! He is alive. You know, they wanted to tell everybody who they had just found. Once we find the Savior and truly believe, we should have the joy unspeakable and full of glory. We should want to tell everyone that we come in contact with that Jesus is alive, that he is the Savior of the world. You know, do you know that Jesus is here today, the same as he was back then? Do you know that Jesus is with you and I today in this room, just like he was walking along with the two disciples on their way to Emmaus? Do you know that Jesus is in this room the same as he was when he went through the door that day into the upper room with the 11? The very same Jesus is with us today as what he was back then. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Listen, Jesus is here today just like he was back then. This same Jesus is here today. This young man we talked to this morning, he says, "I just hope Jesus is alive long enough for me to see him." Didn't he? Ariana, wake up. This boy says to us, he says, "I just hope Jesus stays alive long enough for me to see him." I said, "What?" He goes, "Yeah. I said, I don't know what you're getting for doctrine, but I said, it's all wet. He said, what do you mean? And I started explaining to him. He said, I've never heard anything like this before in my life. I said, come to my church. You'll hear it every Sunday. He's okay. Listen, there's an awful lot of people out there that are searching. They're searching just like these disciples were. They were in this upper room praying when Jesus walked through the door. What were they praying for? They were praying for the Messiah. And there he was. There's an awful lot of people today that are just like these people, searching for something they cannot find. You know, the scripture has to be revealed to those who are lost. We need to take and let people know that all are sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to let everybody know that there's a penalty for their sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. They need to understand that Jesus died and paid their penalty. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we need to accept him as their Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen, we need to find the Savior, and we need to accept him, for he really is the very Son of God. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved. Shall be saved. There's no might in there. A person who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Once we truly believe, we need to get excited. We need to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark 16:15 it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to look at that verse. He says, go ye. Doesn't say just go preacher. Go Brother Mike. It means all of us. All of us need to get on fire and go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be ready to take and share the gospel message with everybody that we come in contact with. How about you today? Are you ready to do that? Are you like those two that are walking down the line, they didn't really know what they're looking for until the Savior was revealed to them? Then they got all excited. That's what we need, is we need that excitement. We need that excitement in our heart that we want to tell everybody about what Jesus did for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning.